I want you to notice that little phrase, good works. Good works. It is unique to the New Testament. That phrase is never found in the Old Testament. It is something that is introduced into the Bible and into our lives by Jesus Christ himself. That little phrase is found 16 times in the New Testament. It talks about good works. The Lord said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And I want to talk about today this subject. It's work, but it's good. It's work, but it is good. The things that God asks us to do after we are saved are work. They are labor. We are laborers together with God. We are left here to work. We all should be workers for the Lord Jesus Christ. I know this is a theme that comes up a lot in my preaching, and some of this will be like a broken record to some of you, and others it might be something that will help you for the first time. But after we are saved, we are left here to work. We're left here to do good works, and these good works should be seen of men. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, that they may see your good. Now, that doesn't mean we do it for show. Absolutely not. We don't do anything for vainglory. But it ought to be such the behavior of a born-again Christian for doing good works that eventually everybody sees it. Now, there are some things we do in the closet. We know that. We pray in the closet. We fast in the closet. We give alms in the closet. And our Father, which seeth these things done in secret, shall reward us openly. But there are other things that should be seen of men. It ought to be so common for us to be about the doing of good that people will glorify our Father in heaven by the good works that we do. Now, I want to be clear at the beginning of this message that when Jesus introduces good works into Christianity, we are not talking here about legalism. We are not talking here about placing ourselves back under the law of Moses or anything like that. People get confused about that. People may come to a church like ours or something where we strongly encourage people to do things for God, and they might misconstrue that as some kind of legalism or being back under the law or something like that. Not at all. Legalism and the law of Moses and those things were misused, and that people took them up as works that they did to try to earn and merit the salvation of God. That cannot be done. You cannot earn or merit the salvation of God, no matter how hard you work. The Bible says all have sinned and come short. Nobody's come close to the righteous expectations of God, which are perfection. And there's a lot of people who are trying to do good works to hopefully satisfy the wrath or the anger of Almighty God that's revealed against sinners. And we all know that we've sinned. We all know that our sins have separated us from God, that the wrath of God abideth on us in our unsaved state. And so it is the natural tendency of human beings to think, well, then I've got to do something to make God happy. And so they start with the works. They start going to church and giving money and saying prayers and turning over a new leaf. They try reforming. They try taking sacraments. They try getting involved in religion or being a better neighbor or something. All types of works. Baptism. Hoping that they can do enough things that God will finally look at them and say, you know, you have been a pretty good boy. I think I'll let you into heaven. You earned it. Or you've been a good enough girl. You've earned it. Come on into heaven. But some of you didn't earn it, and so you can't come in. A lot of people think that way. I thought that way until I heard of the grace of God. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We are not saved by our works. We are saved by Christ's works. When he died on the cross for our sins, and then he was buried and he rose from the grave and he gave his blood to satisfy the wrath of God and to propitiate the anger and the righteous justice and judgment of God in the giving of his blood. Jesus Christ is Lord. It was God himself who came to this earth in flesh and climbed upon a cross one day of his own will. He wasn't taken by soldiers kicking and screaming and trying to escape for his life. The Bible says he laid down his life for us. He carried his cross and had help from Simon and then got to Calvary's Hill and laid down on the cross. That was his passion, the Bible says, that he came for. He set his face as a flint towards Jerusalem to accomplish that, and he would not be deterred. And he laid down his life on the cross for our sins and died for us so that we would have a chance. We had no other chance except that Christ died for us because our sin merited the judgment of God. But Christ died and shed his blood to wash away our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the moment you believe on Christ and quit believing in yourselves and what you can do and believe on Christ and who he is and what he did, we're saved. And we're saved from our sins and we're saved forever. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16, verse 31. But then after we're saved, he leaves us here. And he leaves us here so that we will do good works. Not so we'll go back to legalism or place ourselves under the law of Moses. We're not trying to do good works or what those end up being, according to Hebrews 6:1, as dead works. They're dead works because they can never give life to anybody. But we are saved now to do good works and to let our light so shine before men as Jesus said. So Jesus introduces the subject of good works here today and in the Christianity. He is the first one. This is the first time in Matthew 5:16 where that phrase, good works, is found of 16 times in the New Testament. And it is Jesus himself in the Sermon on the Mount who introduces this practice to the body of Christ. And the reason why I wanted to point out it was Jesus himself is because, sure enough, as soon as you start telling people, boy, you ought to do this, and you ought to do this, and you ought to do this, and you ought to do this as a Christian, they say, well, you're a legalist, or you're just trying to get us under the law. No. We don't do that to merit the love of God or to earn the love of God. We rest in the love of God, and we do this because we love God. We love him. Because we love him, we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So we're left here to do good works. And boy, did Jesus ever set an example for us to follow with his own good works. In John chapter 21 and verse 25, it says this, "And there are many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Jesus did so many good works in 3 years that John testified. You know, John's saying here, look, verse 24, "This is the disciple that testifieth of these things and wrote these things." And we know that this testimony is true. "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, of which," he said, "if they should be written, every one, I suppose, that even the..." See, Jesus not only told us to do good works, he set an example, he set a model for us. He spent 3 years working and working and working and working and working for God. We know that Jesus was on earth about 33, 33 and a half years, about 12,000 days. All we know is little parts of about 50 of those days in the New Testament of what he did. That's all. That's all we have. And yet, this is enough to blow our minds of what he did here in the 50 days. We just have, and not, they're not whole days, they're just parts of 50 days recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John out of the 12,000. Jesus worked, and he didn't work in the flesh. He worked in the power of the Holy Ghost, and he went about doing good. In Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing those that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus worked, and we are saved so we can become like him. When somebody says, I'm a Christian, they're supposed to be saying, I am like Christ. And Christ worked. Boy, did Christ work. Volumes could not be written about what he did in those basically 3 years of public ministry. He worked and worked and worked. Now, I understand Jesus did things you and I cannot do. He can still do them, but we can't. I mean, if he saw a dead person, he raised them from the dead. If he saw a blind person, he restored their sight. If you saw a lame person, he restored their mobility. If he saw a person who had an issue of blood, a hemophiliac, he healed them of that infirmity. He healed people of their diseases, their infirmities. He healed people of fevers. If he saw a dear lady who was a widow with her only son being carried away in a funeral and all means of her support was gone, he would stop the funeral and he'd raise the son from the dead and restore him back to his mother so he could take care of his mother. If he saw hungry people, whether it was a few or thousands, he fed them. If he saw thirsty people, he gave them drink. If he saw naked people, like the demoniacs of Gadara, he clothed them. He healed their minds. If people were lost and were scattered as a sheep without shepherd, he preached to them. He taught them many things. If little children were brought to him, he'd take them up in his arms and he'd bless them and return them to his parents. And he just went about doing good. He was filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit of God anointed him to just go about doing good. Everybody, anyone he crossed paths, if there was a blind beggar by the wayside begging, and the crowd kept saying to that blind beggar, shut up, would you? He doesn't have time for you. Quit wasting his time. But the beggar would cry out more, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. He would stop the whole crowd to help that one beggar. He'd help a woman who touched the hem of his garment when there were just oppressive people around him. He took time for individuals. He took time for large crowds. He went about doing good. He came to do good. And he set a model and an example for us. Now in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, you've heard me quote that already, and I want to encourage you strongly to memorize those verses. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God's salvation is a gift. You do not earn it. You do not work for it. He gives it to you, and you receive it freely. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. There will not be one boaster in heaven. The Apostle Paul said, whereas boasting is excluded, there won't be one boaster in heaven. There won't be one single person in heaven who's going to say, let me tell you how I got here. Let me tell you how wonderful I was. No, we're told in heaven what they sing about. They sing about the blood of the Lamb and how it redeemed them from all iniquity. There's only one way to heaven, through Jesus Christ and through his precious and powerful blood. If you're here today and you're not trusting in Christ and Christ alone, I want to encourage you to be saved today and trust in Christ. Trust in Christ alone. Trust the merits and the power of his blood to wash away your sins. But notice there's another verse right after it, verse 10. After it tells us we're not saved by works, verse 10 tells us, however, we are saved to do works. It says in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto, and here's that phrase again, good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are ordained to walk in good works after we are saved. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this message is because summertime is often the season of sloppy Christianity. The hot, lazy, hazy days of summer. Look, we got to strike that word lazy out of Christianity. There's no place for it. Christianity must be done on purpose. We cannot become Christians and we cannot live the Christian life being lazy. And summer times are the times of sloppy Christianity, and people begin to just get sloppy with the disciplines of the faith, the works of the faith, and their works towards others. And as a result, our church, every church, has casualties every summer. Every summer there's people who begin to backslide. I was talking to a man this week, and I was so glad to see him back in fellowship. But he was telling me how, he said, boy, Pastor, it's good to be back and over at the chapel. And he says, I was just sliding away. He says, it was happening real slowly. Because there's a little bit more liberty in the summertime. School's out. Vacations, graduation, so on and so forth. We have more liberty as people. Galatians 5 and verse 13 says, but use not liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. We have more liberty at this season than we have when school's in session and college is in session and full-time work and so on and so forth. But he says, don't use liberty as an occasion of the flesh to get away from God, but use the liberty, use the extra time by love to serve one another. Find somebody you can help. Do good work. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Find somebody who crossed paths in your life and try to help them and be a good Christian testimony. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 16. Many of you have this verse memorized. It's about the Scriptures. But what is the purpose for the Scriptures? Now, there's many purposes for the Scriptures, but this text says this. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all, what? Good works. When we're told to study the Bible, why are we told to study? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, not a theologian, not a debater, not somebody that can split hairs and win every single Bible argument, not somebody who can learn more Bible verses than anybody else, although that's good to memorize Scripture. But the reason we're supposed to study the Scriptures is so that we can be workmen. There's a way to do God's work. There's a way not to do God's work. And we are to study the Scriptures so we can be good workmen. And as it says in the text here of 2 Timothy 3:16, the Scripture, all of it is given so the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. Good works are so important for the believer, for the Christian. Why? Because it is by our good works that people see Christ in us. Now, I know right about here our guard goes up as fundamentalists, and we are fundamentalists because we don't believe in lifestyle evangelism. We like to practice more of a confrontational evangelism of preaching the gospel to people, and you can go up to somebody, complete stranger, share the gospel with them, God will use you, and they'll save their souls. Amen. But man, our lifestyle ought to be a testimony. It ought to be a very, very good testimony. And there are some times where our good works, our good testimony, will open the opportunity for somebody whose previously heart is closed to share the gospel with them. And we need to get back to being a good testimony, being a good example in our neighborhood, with the neighbors across the street and to either side of us, with the men that we work with or the women that we work with during the week. Listen, you know what good works are for some of you? Good works are going to your place of work every single day in the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and you're probably the only Christian there, but being a good example, being a good testimony, and it may mean doing that for years and years and years before somebody is ready to come and hear the gospel. And the reward of inheritance is given to those men who look at their work that they do every single week as not some secular job, but rather as their calling, that they do it heartily as unto the Lord and not as unto men. Good works could be helping somebody with a flat tire along the road. As you see, there could be the widow across the street who has no way to mow her lawn. And you mow her lawn. It could be one man was telling me recently about whenever he goes to get gas, he'll take an appropriate gospel track and he'll put a $5 tip in it and he'll hand it to the guy who pumps his gas. You think that might open his heart? Every time he goes to buy gas, it costs him $5 more than the gas tank. You're doing a good job today. I wanted to give you this one to thank you for it. And there's something here written that really helped me. It changed my life one day. And I know you're busy right now, but sometime when you get a free moment, could you just take a moment and read through that little track right there? It changed my life. I think it'll help you. There's a good chance that good work may bear some fruit someday for the Lord. There's all kinds of things we can do. People say, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a Sunday school teacher, and so on and so forth. Look, God has called some people to serve Him very publicly. They're very well known. Others, the Bible says, are unknown. And we just got to be faithful. Leave that up to the Lord. Some are well known. I went to Harold Reiner's funeral. I saw the Brumbaughs were there yesterday, the Moores. What a man of God. I'm glad my paths crossed with him several times. What a man of God. 60 years on the mission field in Brazil. 60 years. He got an award once because nobody has ever heard of a missionary being on the field for that long. He was ordained in 1948. 21 years of age, went right to the mission field of Brazil. Buried his wife there. Ended up being a single father with 5 kids. He stayed on the mission field. The good Lord sent another wife to him, married her. Aviation expert. He started the largest aviation ministry in Brazil to this day, where they fly into areas unknown. I was so impressed with that man. I remember going to Bible studies with him, and I just sensed there were times where I was just sitting in the presence of greatness. Started 13 churches in his life, Bible colleges, Christian schools, bought an island one time, made a boat, made a boat that would fit 150 kids on the boat with all the supplies, Brazilian kids. Imagine that. Year after year after year after year after year now, they filled up that boat with Brazilian kids, taking them out to the little island, Treasure Island, had Christian camp for them, and taking them back. Just the things he did just blew my mind. Just blew my mind what a man could accomplish. Buried 3 of his children, I think it was, on the mission field with his wife. Never quit. Man, alive. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Man, I was just sitting there in that funeral there, just, I don't know everybody else, but I was just in tears saying, wow, what a challenge. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Harry Reiner, Brazil. But there's others sometimes that are just called to do good works in obscurity. We don't know why. I believe her name was Ina Ogden. One time, who was an extremely gifted ladies' conference speaker. They thought she was going places as a ladies' conference speaker, her and some of her contemporaries in that day, like Fanny Crosby. They'd get big groups of ladies together, and they'd speak to them like ladies' conference speakers, maybe like in the model of Titus chapter 2, where it says, The elder women should teach the younger women certain things. The Chautauqua Institute right down the road here was going gangbusters at the time, and it was a Christian. It really was. It was a time where it was a Christian institution of fundamentalists and evangelicals. It was a place originally designed to train Sunday school teachers and workers. It's not anymore. But Fanny Crosby would go there. I think she spoke to 5 different presidents once. She was blind for 90 years. Blind lady. Wrote so many poems, some of the most beautiful gospel songs we still sing to this day. But I believe the lady's name was Ina Ogden. Don't quote me on that. I think that was her name. And she was about ready to go on the circuit and become a ladies' conference speaker when her mother became debilitated and handicapped, and she would spend the rest of her life doing nothing else but caring for her mother the rest of her life, and she never spoke. That was what God wanted her to do. She wrote a hymn called Brighten the Corner Where You Are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor, you may guide across the bar, so brighten the corner where you are. And there are those that God has called to work in obscurity, but you remember, God sees what you're doing. Others are very, very well known. Some are extremely fruitful. Others just bear maybe what appears to be a little bit of fruit. But we are ordained to do these good works. God has you on your street to witness to your neighbors. God has you at your workplace to witness to your neighbors. Not only with your lips, but with your life and your impeccable testimony that must be above reproach. The power of the Holy Ghost can help you. We are saved to do good works. Turn to the book of Titus. The book of Titus, a few more verses this morning. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter number 2. The Bible says, and I want to just show you 3 things very quickly. Notice, number 1, have a pattern of good works. Titus 2, verse 7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. A pattern of good works. This comes from a word that we get the English word die from, D-I-E, and we do not mean die as my Uncle Ernie did Friday. We mean like the building behind us here, the next building down the road is called the Eden Tool and Die. All right? And what they do is they're hired by companies to make certain parts for machines or whatever, and they have equipment that can make nuts and bolts and screws and little metal pieces or something, and that equipment is set up and it's extremely complex. But it's set up so that equipment just starts, for instance, at the Ford, we call it the Ford stamping plant up here in Woodlawn. And they have this, there dies, and they have a piece of metal come into this machine, and wham, the thing hits the piece of metal, and then it comes out as a fender, or it comes out as a door or something. I know there's more to it than that. But the machine just goes wham, 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 wham. And that's the Bible we're here, a pattern of good works. A pattern of good works, just hitting that thing over and over and over again. Now, we harp on individual things. Read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. Pray, pray, pray. Go to church, go to church, go to church. Give, give, give. Win souls, win souls, win souls. Memorize Scripture, memorize Scripture, memorize Scripture. Those are individual works that all of us should do as a pattern over and over and over again. Just hit that thing every day. Every day. But we ought to also approach life that way, saying, Lord, let my life cross paths with somebody today that I can do some good works for. The old-timers used to call it doing the good deed of the day. Doing the good deed of the day. We need to get back to that. Doing the good deed of the day. One couple told me that they go to the restaurants, and when the waitress comes up or the waiter comes up or whatever, and they get their order for their drinks and they take their order for their food, they'll turn to the waitress and they'll say, now when you bring the food back later, We're going to have a word of prayer and just ask the Lord to bless our food. If there's anything in your life that we might be able to pray for at that time, would you let us know? And boy, they get all kinds of responses to that. Usually shock, but there's some times where they'll say, yeah, we have somebody dying of cancer, or somebody's, and they'll share a prayer request. And you know, when that person puts down a gospel track and a real good tip in it, Christians ought to be good tippers. And after that, do you think that might touch their heart to maybe read that gospel track when they leave? See, good works. You got to let the Holy Spirit take this message today and make some kind of an application to your particular life, because I don't know your life or the setting of your life, but there are good works you can do every single day as a pattern. Something you can do. Be the one at work who just cleans up a little bit better than everybody else. Goes the extra mile, gets there early, stays there late. Whatever it is, a pattern of good works. And then number two, we need to be zealous of good works. Chapter 2, verse 14 says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. This word zealous means with burning vigor. With burning vigor. That's why I said a little earlier in the message, there is no place for laziness in the Christian life or in the summertime. And those of us that live around here in Western New York, some of us know that the best time to serve the Lord around here is in the summertime, because that's when the people are out. And man, around here in the wintertime, life comes to a screeching halt. Buffalo's renowned for that. It's tough, and you got to make hay, so to speak, while the sun shines around here. Summertime is the best time. That's why I'm glad we have Bible school this week, kids camp the following week, Bible school at our church plant the following week after that. Then we got the Eden Corn Festival parade come up, and we're in that, and then we're out soul winning at the Dunkirk Fair for 7 days, and soul winning at the Hamburg Fair for 12 days. We're trying to be zealous of good works while we can. And then last of all, we need to maintain good works. Look at chapter 3, verse 8. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God, in other words, you're saved, might be careful to maintain good works. Why? Verse 14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. The Lord did not save us to leave us here to live an unfruitful life. The Lord saved us to leave us here to be like Harry Reiner. And maybe we're not going to even come close to what Harry did, but he did something. He got an award from his mission board after 60 years. They made a big deal out of it. They gave him this big award, big plaque and everything. You know what he said in his acceptance speech? Just said simply these words, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing. That's all he said. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? Maintain good works. You maintain your car, you'll have many, many fruitful years of service from that car. But you don't maintain your car, and it's not going to last as long as it was intended to last. Brethren, you've got to maintain your Bible study. God's not going to do that for you. You got to maintain your prayer life. God's not going to do that for you. You got to maintain your soul-winning ministry. God's not going to do that for you. God's not going to slap you around Sunday morning, get you dressed, put you in a car, and drive you to church. Or Sunday night. Or Wednesday night. Or Bible schools. You got to do some things yourself. You got to do some things yourself. You got to maintain good works, but then those individual things, but then those things that where you're a blessing to God and you're a blessing to others. Those take so much diversity, visiting the sick, going to the prison, going to the nursing home, being a good testimony at work, helping your neighbor out, befriending your neighbor, going golfing with him or something. Trying to show him that you're a human, that you love God, you love him. The Apostle Paul said, and I'll close with this, he said, I labored more abundantly than they all. 1 Corinthians 15:10, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. You know what he said? He said, I was the hardest working Christian in my generation. And he wasn't boasting. He was just saying what the Holy Ghost told him to say. He said, I came to work. And then at the end, he said, I finished the course. I finished my work. Ran my race. And that same Paul says to us in closing, Galatians 6:9, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Brethren, Jesus talked about good works. It has nothing to do with the law. It has nothing to do with legalism. But we are left here to work. Good music is a lot of work. Soul-winning visitation, a bus route's a lot of work. Being a missionary is a lot of work. Brother Chris back there going to Philippines, it's a lot of work. That's a lot of work. God has a work for you to do. Are you doing it? Are you doing his work? Why don't you ask him, Lord, what would you have me to do? And do not look for something big. Don't sit there and do nothing until he strikes you with a lightning bolt and then gives you some amazing job that, like, you're going to be the next Billy Graham or something. You're probably not going to be, even though he's gone kind of astray. But now he's probably going to say, why don't you pick up a kid and bring him to vacation Bible school every night? That's probably what God's going to say. Why don't we start with something small here? Why don't you help clean up after vacation? Why don't you come Saturday and help clean up when Bible school is over? Why don't you go to the work day? Why don't you go down to Taste of Buffalo Saturday? There's going to be 450, almost half a million people down there eating food and just pass out tracts. There's got to be one that will fall into the hands of somebody who wants to know Jesus. Let's have a pattern of good works, be zealous of good works, maintain good works. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, help us now, Lord. Bless our invitation time, the baptism time. We pray that the Holy Spirit of God would help us, Lord. I don't know how to make the individual application to everybody that's here. But Father, I do know this. According to your word, you have saved us to work. You've saved us to work. To do something for you, to do something for our fellow man, to do something in the church, to do things outside of the church that will be a good Christian testimony. Even the Apostle Peter, Lord, you used him to say that through our good works we can put to silence the ignorance of evil men. They can debate with our words, they can debate with our doctrine, but they can't debate with a person's life. Their example. And Jesus, you said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples indeed, if you have love one to another. God help us to start loving our fellow man, to not use the liberty of this summer as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.